had.
Amen.
And hopefully hold so dear. And what inspired this message tonight is a telephone call that I received from another pastor in another state last night who had a little situation arise, and hopefully we were able to be a blessing to him. And I want to just share with you that tonight. Amen. Proverbs 23:23. I suppose most of you know that one by memory. It's real easy to remember 23 and 23. That's 23 and 23. Proverbs 23, that's chapter 23 and verse 23. And just the first part of the verse, the first seven words, says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." The rest of the verse says, "Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not." How many are thankful for the truth tonight? Amen. Praise God. How many of you believe that you know something that's true? You know some truth. Amen. Amen. Truth is valuable. Would everybody agree with that? That truth is valuable. If somebody told you the bridge is out ahead and around the corner and you slowed down and saved your life, or at least a terrible accident because the bridge was out, somebody told you the truth. Wouldn't it be awful if somebody said, "Nah, the bridge is not out," and you believed a lie? Some people believe a lie. And God says they'll be damned. You can't believe a lie, you got to believe the truth. So thank God for the truth. How many of you have ever taken a trip someplace you haven't been before, and on the front seat of the car right next to you is a map open? You have an open map there, and you refer to that map every once in a while because you have a destination and you trust the truth of that map. You can't get to Rice Lake on I-94. How many knew that? It just doesn't go there. And the map tells you that it doesn't go there. The map tells you that I-94 goes to Madison and on down further south and more east and so on. And then it goes west to Minneapolis and so on. And there's some places you just don't go on certain roads because the road doesn't go there. It's that simple. So thank God for the truth. And we hold that map very valuable. We really look for a map before we take a trip to go somewhere we haven't been before. I appreciate my maps. I have a little collection of maps. In fact, I have a manila folder that says maps on it. And when we go to the city, sometimes I have a little detailed map of the cities, the different streets, so I can get around up in Minneapolis. And I trust that map. I would be lost without that map. Thank God for the Holy Bible, which is our map. Amen. It gives us directions to that holy city. Amen. We don't have to miss it if we'll buy the map and sell it not. Right. If we'll buy the truth and sell it not. Nobody has to be lost. Nobody has to go to hell. We can buy the map and sell it not. We can buy the truth and sell it not. Praise the Lord. Amen. So truth is very valuable. Very valuable to you. Very valuable to me. Know the truth of Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Peter wasn't lying to us. He was telling us the truth, exactly as Jesus Christ showed it to him. Amen. Jesus showed him, told him what to preach, and he preached it. And I love this good old Bible truth. You call it Pentecostal truth, it's Bible truth. Amen. Amen. I've said it before, God doesn't have Baptist verses in the Bible and Pentecostal verses in the Bible and Lutheran verses in the Bible and Catholic verses in the Bible. He's got a holy Bible, and if anybody's going to get to heaven, they're going to have to go by the same book, the same word, the same scriptures, right, no matter what church they think has a monopoly on them. No, whatever God says is what we have to do, because His word is truth. Praise the Lord. Now, as valuable as truth is, we have to know this, that truth is vulnerable. Truth is vulnerable. By that I mean, the Son of Man goeth forth to sow seed, and some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and ate it up. And it didn't take root, and it didn't grow, and it didn't bring forth fruit. We're talking about the truth. We're talking about the seed of God's Word. The fowl of the air came and took it up. That's why we say, after a church service, why don't we all just find a place to kneel down and pray this service in, pray the sermon in, pray the Bible study in, pray the Word of God in, pray the truth that you heard down deep into your soul, so that when you leave this place, there aren't a bunch of birds out there just waiting to snap it right up, and it's gone. Have you ever seen birds do that? Have you ever seen a farmer spill a few seed on the highway? I mean, you can look ahead and those birds are hovering overhead. They're just waiting for you to go by so they can swoop down and eat that seed. Right. Yep. Right. That truth. You've got to hang on to that truth. It has to be sold not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now, what about your automobile? We talked about seed on the highway or somewhere else, and the birds are right there to come down after it. But what about that roadmap? You put it in your car, and you get hungry. You stop at McDonald's on your trip. You still don't know where you're going. You have to have the map there. You leave your car doors open. And you come back out the car and the map's gone. And it's Sunday in the old days and the stores weren't open. You couldn't get another map. You're going to have a little delay there, right? A delay, if not a total failure in not getting to your destination at the right time. Because we got careless with the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Let's say, buy the truth, sell it not, and protect it with everything you have. Yes. There are a lot of birds out there and a lot of thieves out there that are going to break into your car, even if it is locked, and steal your map. So truth is valuable, truth is vulnerable, and truth is unchangeable. It's unchangeable. Just like that map I'm talking about. I'm using that as a little illustration. But just like that map I'm talking about, the truth is unchangeable. You're not going to get another map. Now, I know that modern versions are changing the truth. I know that. We can prove that to you. Just bring a modern version in and we'll just give me a time and I'll find an error in there. I'll find a mistake in there. Mistranslation or something. That's just what people are doing today. But you're not going to go buy another map of Wisconsin and find out that I-94 really does take you to Rice Lake, because it won't on any map. And anybody that's got an authentic official map is going to have 53 going north to Rice Lake, and it's going to have I-94 going to Madison, and so on. Praise the Lord. Truth is unchangeable because truth is a constant. Truth is not a variable. Truth stays the same. If it's truth yesterday, it's truth today. And I'm not talking about people who get divorced and change their names. My name was Jones today and it's Brown tomorrow. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about truth being a constant, not a variable, and so on. Okay? Now, it used to be meat on Friday, you know, in one religion. Now, that's not truth, because they changed it. They changed it. It wasn't truth. That was a variable. That wasn't a constant, because it wasn't in the Bible. Nowhere does the Bible say eat meat on Friday. Or eat fish on Friday, excuse me. Yeah. Amen. So we're talking about unchangeable truth. Truth that you can build on. Yes. There's some things you can't build on, and there's some things you can build on. You can build on truth. Now, the phone call I got the other night was that somebody quit a Pentecostal church, a pastor friend of mine that I love dearly, and the people said to him, we are resigning the church because we discovered that you don't need the gift of tongues to be saved. Well, I said, they're right. You don't need the gift of tongues to be saved. You don't need the gift of healing to be saved. You don't need the gift of prophecy to be saved. You don't need the gift of interpretation or the word of wisdom or the word of truth or the word of knowledge. You don't need those things to be saved. But you need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
The Holy Ghost. So there was a mix-up. I said, well, I can tell you another group got a hold of them and told them that you don't have to have the gift of tongues. I said, oh, brother, explain to them the difference in the gift of tongues and the speaking in tongues. That's a sign of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Are we on? Are we on target tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I know what Jesus would say in a case like that. He'd say, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures.
Right.
You need a Bible study, friend.
Amen.
And that's what a lot of these people out there need. They need a good Bible study, telling them, teaching them the truth, so they don't make these mistakes and get carried about with every wind of doctrine.
Right.
You don't need the gift of tongues to be saved.
Amen.
So they're mixed up right there. Amen. Oh, I love what Jesus said. You do err, not knowing the Scriptures. Oh, how we need to know the Scriptures so we don't err. So we don't make those mistakes. Amen. I was in conversation with an old friend of mine. In fact, I have the date here. It's August 1st, 1987. And I hadn't seen him for years. It's been decades since I met him. And he asked me, called me to ask me about a certain book named, now this man's not a Christian. At one time he was much less than a Christian. He said to me, have you ever heard of the book, The Greatest Salesman in the World? Because he's been a salesman in that. And of course, everybody likes to make sales and make money while they're making sales. Big money, you know. And I've heard the big braggers brag about big money, and I've seen them when they've had 180,000 one day and almost broke the next. I've seen that through a divorce, things like that. They'll just destroy you financially. So on. But anyway, he called me and asked me about if I'd ever read the book, The Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino. Has anybody heard of that book? Oh, some of you have, sure. Okay, a preacher friend of mine gave me that book to read and another book, oh, I'd say about 6 years ago, and I haven't read it yet. Because every time I pick it up and he's asked me about it and I say, it bores me to death. I'm not trying to be the greatest salesman in the world. I'm not even trying to be the greatest preacher in the world. I am trying to be the greatest Christian in the world.
Yeah.
I really am. I want to be a Christian. How many want to be a Christian?
Yeah.
A good old bona fide Christian. Amen. So when he asked me if I had ever heard of the book The Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino, I said, didn't Og Mandino write two books? He answered, oh no, he's written many books. You know, like I was kind of dumb or something. I hadn't heard of only two books by this great man. You know, and I said, well, I'm only aware of two of them. And then I preached to him. And I said, as I know very little about Og Mandino, many people know very little about God. I know very little about Og Mandino, but a lot of people know very little about God. And I said, Og Mandino is only as big to me as my knowledge of him allowed him to be. You got it?
Yes.
All the bigger he can be to me is according to how much I know about him. How important he can be to me is in direct proportion to what I know about him. And I know very little about him. And I said, and so it is with Jesus. So it is with Jesus. So many people know so little about him, he is of little importance to them. The more important you want Jesus to be to you, the more you have to know about him. And we have varying degrees of Christians knowing about him. And so, thank God for the truth. Thank God for a desire to know truth. Thank God for a desire to open the Bible and search the scriptures and find truth in there.
Yes.
Amen. Don't you want to know him better?
Amen.
Know him more? Then you have to read. You have to pray. You have to study. You have to seek his face. You have to become acquainted with him. Amen. And find out how great he is and how powerful he is. See, this author of these many books that I have two copies of and haven't read doesn't mean anything to me because I don't know anything about him. Maybe if I got acquainted with him, he'd be more important to me. But Jesus Christ is very important to me.
Yes.
That's why I can laugh with
God.
Have you ever laughed with God?
Yeah.
I have had Holy Ghost laughing spells with God. I have laid down on the living room floor in my house and laughed with God. When somebody comes on the radio and preaches error, false doctrine, fables, myths, I just have to get down and laugh with God because God says, I'll laugh. I'll sit in the heavens and I'll laugh at them.
Right.
That's an experience, folks. That's a genuine, definite experience to have, and that is to laugh with God. Don't laugh at God and don't laugh apart from God. But when God has something to laugh at, he gets you in the spirit of that thing and you laugh at it too. It's a marvelous experience. Praise the Lord. Well, I have to laugh at science once in a while.
Amen.
And education once in a while.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As they said down at university one time, I learned from an employee there, he said, one professor stood up and said, the only thing we can be certain of is that nobody knows anything for certain. I thought, profound, isn't it?
Yeah.
Profound. So I typed up a little thing here that I took out of a book. It says, as everyone knows, the bumblebee is a large, hairy, black and yellow bee of the genus Bombus, which makes a loud humming sound in flight. Engineers have proven mathematically that the bumblebee cannot get off the ground. Its body is too large for its wingspan. Aerodynamically, they explain, it is impossible for the bumblebee to fly. But the bumblebee, ignorant of these scientific facts, goes ahead and flies anyway.
Right. Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's our God.
Yes.
That is our God. He is great and greatly to be praised. Buy the truth and sell it not.
Right.
It doesn't matter what science says. It doesn't matter what you say or what I say. If God says fly, it's going to fly anyway. I read in the Bible where the iron did swim. How many of you have ever lost an axe head in the river? Remember? And the man that lost the axe head went to the prophet and says, Master, I lost my axe head. Took a tree branch, I think, and he went over there and the iron did swim.
Right.
Well, scientifically, that's impossible. But let God be true and all scientists liars. Let God be true and all educators. Just let God be true. Leave God alone and let him be true. He's right. Amen. So buy the truth and sell it not. I like what the Apostle John said. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if that meant something like, I don't think he said, you know all the truth, now walk in it. But as truth is revealed to you, walk in it.
Yes. Good.
As you learn something along your Christian journey, and it's true, walk in it.
Yeah.
We have new people coming to this church that are saved from other churches. And then they learn something here. They learn that God is not pleased with nudity on the streets. And so they come under conviction, or they quit the church. The best thing to do is come under conviction and go to the altar and accept God's truth.
Yes.
God talks about it in the scripture, and there are a lot of other things he talks about in the scripture that we sometimes stumble onto, or that somebody loves us enough to teach to us.
Yes.
And so we learn more truth. Well, an example would be there were a lot of Christian people in the 17th, 18th, well, all centuries, all through, you know. But in 1900 to 1906, especially, the truth of the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the sign of speaking in other tongues was recovered.
Yes.
Not that it wasn't truth before, but it was there all the time. But somebody uncovered it and started preaching it. And people started receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost all over. What a mighty truth. Praise the Lord. And what about the people that rejected it? Were there people that were walking with God and then they took the joy away from the apostle when they failed to continue walking in that truth? You follow me?
Yes.
I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth or continue in truth. Or when they hear truth, they take it and grow with it. And then in 1914, that mighty truth of baptism in Jesus' name was uncovered. It wasn't something new. Somebody didn't hear something that, apart from the scriptures, that God had never revealed before. No, but it was uncovered. It was rediscovered, and here it is. Praise the Lord. And they started preaching it, and others preached against it. I don't know how God holds those things. I don't know. I'm not God. But I know that the apostle said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So don't reject truth.
Amen.
You're a fool if you do. I'm a fool if I reject truth. If God says, thou shalt not, and I do, I'm the fool. I'm the foolish person. God's word won't change.
Amen.
I said that in the Sunday school staff meeting last Sunday morning, man, that truth doesn't change. And so, and God is not going to change his plans. So we just might as well change ours.
Right.
God's not going to change his plans.
No, right.
His truth is established, settled forever in heaven.
Amen.
We might as well. I've seen people try to twist God's arm. I have worked with people that are trying to get God to see it their way. God doesn't see it your way.
That's right.
He is wiser than all of humanity, all 5.5 billion of us put together.
Amen.
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 And we're not going to change God's plans. We better change our plans and line ourselves up with the Word of God. It doesn't make any difference what denomination you are or what persuasion you are or what faith you are. That's not it. We've got a book. We got the book. We got the truth. And we've got to buy the truth and sell it on and love that truth. Praise God. Praise God. And now these truths were recovered. But the opposition that came when this truth was recovered. I like the attitude of Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter 18. Let me read it to you again here. Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. Okay, here's a man walking with God. Here's a man living according to the Word of God in all the truth that he knows. He knew about John the Baptist. He knew about baptism, the baptism of repentance. He knew about that. And he was preaching it. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist says, that one right there is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I don't know what all Apollos knew. But what he knew, he was preaching, and the Bible says he was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man, listen to it, was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He preached everything he knew, and he did a great job doing it. Are you and I preaching everything we know? Are we doing everything we can with what we have, like Apollos did? And I know some people would criticize Apollos because he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name. Criticize. But not Aquila and Priscilla. They had good tact, good sense. Listen, I heard Brother John W. Grant, superintendent of Wisconsin District, United Pentecostal Church International, say, "I would rather be," how did he put it? "I would rather have less truth walking into more truth than have more truth and walking away from it."
Right.
Words to that effect. Essentially, that's what he said. Okay, and so here we have Aquila and Priscilla. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard this man Apollos, they took him unto them. They didn't talk against him. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You can be sure they told this man about baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You can be sure they laid their hands on this man or took him to the apostles or something and told him about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the sign of speaking in other tongues. And it says that when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote. They didn't write before he was instructed, but after, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much which had believed through grace. Here's a man like I had an experience. A man taught me, you know, we used to take a wrench and clamp your roller skates on your shoes and lose your soul. Remember that? The sole of your shoe, I mean. And then you'd skate down the sidewalks with one section of cement was up, and you hit that, you know, you fall or whatever. But I remember the neighbor boy taught me how to roller skate. It was about 2 days later I was teaching him tricks on roller skates. You know, that's what happened here. Apollos didn't know it. Somebody taught him the truth, and he went out and did more with that truth. He went out and helped others that had believed it before him.
Praise the Lord.
Wow. Helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Praise the Lord. I like Apollos' attitude, because you can preach baptism in Jesus' name or the baptism of the Holy Ghost to a lot of people today, and they don't have Apollos' attitude. They reject it. and bring sorrow to the heart of the Apostle John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my people,
oh yeah,
walk in truth. Yeah. When they see it, they obey it, believe it, wonder. Now it's our aim here at Pentecostal Assembly to teach things that make us bigger, not bigoted. To teach things that separate us from the world, not from one another.
Amen.
To teach things that make us holier, not holier than thou. People cannot change truth.
Right.
But truth can change people. People cannot change truth, but truth can change people.
Yeah.
I showed you this once before. I have to show it to you again. Boy, you can't believe everything you hear and everything you read, that's for sure. This heading here is, "You Are My Body." In October 1982, the Lord supernaturally separated me from the noise and people at work and spoke to me in an audible voice. He said, quote from Jesus, "Design genes in my name." Soon after, Jesus led me to Revelation 19:16 for scriptural support of the vision He had placed in my heart. Several weeks later, the Holy Spirit showed me the unique JC is Lord logo. I cannot abbreviate Jesus Christ, JC. I have to capitalize J, capitalize C, and write the whole word out. I cannot abbreviate it. So it says, JC is Lord. That's the logo. The vision began with designer jeans for the whole family. The collection has been expanded to include long and short sleeve cotton polyester shirts and nylon workout shorts. I believe the Lord began this ministry for three reasons. So that the Lord's name may be glorified in us, His body. Two, to make available to the body of Christ an unusual yet highly effective witnessing tool. Three, to fulfill the will of God. That is, for the world to know that His Son, Jesus, is soon coming back. The genes are just one avenue in which that ultimate promise can be made to all. Theodore C. Bryant, JC's Christian Designer Clothes. Your are seven reasons for wearing this line of clothing. I see one reason.
Yeah.
Because Jesus revealed to John in the book of Revelation that we, His body, would wear His name on our thigh. King of kings, Lord of lords. Revelation 19:16. Because we are to do everything to God's glory, even undress. I mean, I said that. Because this line of clothing helps us preach and publish openly the good news to all the world. Matthew 29:19. You got the wrong reference. There's only 28 chapters in there. They don't read their Bibles, they just hear these voices. Because we are not to preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. Because wearing these clothes lets our light shine before men to the glory of our Father in heaven. So that we declare the knowledge of God's glory through all the earth in this regard. Because Jesus is coming soon and we are to tell people. Now how many believe He heard an audible voice that told Him to design designer jeans? How many believe that He heard an audible voice that told Him that? None of you do. You know why? You bought the truth. You're not selling it for somebody's story. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, I have another one here. Here's a picture of Dr. Percy Collette. And his testimony is simply fantastic, says Reverend Philip Cameron. I don't know if Philip Cameron was here, but the Cameron family was here one night. And, from Ireland, remember? Anybody remember that? You do? Okay. Anybody else remember the Cameron family? Okay. Okay, we have several over here. Okay, now listen to this. Jimmy Swagger, I cut this out before his fall. Jimmy Swagger, TV evangelist, said on one of his recent telecasts, and I'm glad he's lost credibility when he says things like this, "You are going to be literally elated, excited, and thrilled at what Dr. Collette is going to share. I could talk to this man for 10 years and never scratch the surface. What he saw, what has happened to him, and the move of the Holy Spirit within his life. He has thrilled my soul, and I think he's going to thrill yours as well." Signed, Jimmy Swagger. okay, now somebody's going to think I'm picking. Somebody's going to think I shouldn't be doing this. I'll tell you what to do. Change your mind, because I'm going to do it anyway. Because I don't like falsehoods. I don't like lies. I am out for the truth and the truth only. And when I'm done, you're going to know I'm telling you the truth. Okay, Dr. Percy Collette, a medical doctor, ministered almost 50 years to the physical and spiritual needs of people in the Amazon River Basin of South America. His work among the Indian headhunters, and poor river people is documented by acts of bravery and deprivation which rival that of Sister Teresa. Having spent his life teaching the heathen and doctoring their sick, without once charging them a dime for a prescription, a few years back he began to pray. Now, I laud all of that. I'm not against all of that, fine. But listen. He said, Lord, if I found favor in your sight, show me your glory. In 1982, a small group, including Dr. Collette, the young medical doctor, was in a period of fasting and intercession when an angel of the Lord came to him and transported his soul body to heaven. For 5.5 days, he talked with God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Elijah, Elisha, Abraham, Moses, Paul, and others. He viewed the mansions of the saints and toured the buildings now under construction. He was taken to his mansion 700 miles up from the city's foundation. He saw the mansions of and talked with great soul winners. The size and functions of musical instruments were shown to him. The immensities of heaven's measurements were revealed as he traveled and was given the number of statute miles around its circumference. He toured each level of heaven and viewed its different departments and activities. Jesus talked with him about events soon to occur on earth. The battle of Ezekiel 38, which is long past, by the way. The rapture and Armageddon. He was sent back to earth with instructions to take a leave of absence from the mission field and declare what he had seen and heard. Some of what he saw and heard was shared recently at services in the Civic Center in Montgomery, Alabama, sponsored by Ministries Incorporated, video and audio tapes recorded by professionals of the entire 2+ hour service, August 22, 1984, are available. The following evening, an interview was conducted by Dr. Mary Stuart Ralph before a packed congregation of Dr. Collette's trip and sequence, at which time she zeroed in on details not covered in Dr. Collette's testimony and tapes. The interview is written up in a special report. Christianity abounds with accounts of glimpses of the other dimension from those who've had out-of-body experiences. Dr. Collette's is unlike these. His is no glimpse. Surely he was caught up in the third heaven, even as Paul was. The difference being, Paul was not allowed to utter the things he saw and heard, while Dr. Collette, almost 2,000 years later, was commanded to do so. His knowledge on each topic covered seems endless, and indeed, the half of what I've already heard can't be told. Interviewed 8 pages for a gift of $10. Audio tapes 2, contribution of $12. VHS or Beta Circle 1, video cassette of entire service for a contribution of $100. Do you see what I see?
Amen.
I see this. We don't need somebody else to tell us the dimensions of the holy city. They're already in the Bible.
Right.
And God's not going to give 2 sets of dimensions.
Right.
And if he saw his mansion 700 miles up, he's already got the race ended, because Jesus told his disciples, he said, who's going to sit at my right hand, who's going to sit at my left has not been determined yet, but it'll be given to that one for whom it is prepared. The race isn't over yet. The race isn't over yet. As far as I know, the man's still alive. I'm not against the man. I'm not against the woman. I'm against falsehoods.
Amen.
I'm against falsehoods. Do you believe that story? I don't believe it for a minute. I don't believe it anymore than I do the lady, a friend of my wife's and mine, who never was baptized in Jesus' name, and we brought the subject up and taught them the truth. The husband wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. The woman said, I got to pray about it. And the next time I saw her, I said, well, did you pray about it? She said, yes, I did, and Jesus told me I didn't need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Now, do you believe that?
No.
Or are you going to buy the truth and sell it not?
Amen.
Buy the truth and sell it not. Truth is a constant. It's not a variable.
Right.
And God doesn't accommodate us, you know, and say, oh, you can be baptized this way, you can be baptized that way. There is the truth, one truth. Praise
yes.
God. And I love
praise
that truth.
God.
Buy the truth and sell it not. Well, somebody said we all ought to be one, and we got to help Jesus answer his prayer that they all may be one. But a lot of people don't realize that truth divides.
Right.
No, truth is going to bring us all together and make us all one. No, truth divides.
Right.
If the whole world had the truth, if the whole world embraced the truth, there would be no division. The reason we have division is because somebody doesn't believe the truth. Obviously, if everybody believed the truth, we would all be one in doctrine, wouldn't we? But obviously, two people that believe two different things, two people that believe two different maps are going to get to the same place.
Right.
All roads lead to Rome, I heard. Somebody said, all roads lead to heaven. Well, I said, all roads may lead to Rome, but all roads don't lead to heaven.
Right.
Jesus said there's a straight road, a narrow road,
yes.
a narrow road and a straight gate that leads to heaven. And broad is the road that leads to destruction. There's not a whole lot of traffic on a narrow road, but the broad road is full of traffic. And I don't care if there's any traffic at all. I'm just walking up the narrow road, and I love it. Praise the Lord. Don't you?
Amen.
Aren't you thankful
Amen.
For the truth tonight? The truth
Amen.
Of God's word.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when Jesus came, there was a division over him. Some said he's the Messiah. Some said he's not. Some said, how can Messiah come out of here? There's no prophecy about it. They missed it. They missed the truth. But when Jesus came, there was a division, and Jesus didn't deny it. He said, I have not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And a sword divides. Because there's only one way. There's only one truth. And I want to know that truth. I don't want to be deceived. That's why I devour the Word of God. I love it. And you go to our house right now. Go down to the basement. When I go down to the basement, whatever I do down the basement, I push a button and the Bible's playing. You go up in my wife's bedroom. There's a recorder there. You push the button. There's a tape playing. You go in our kitchen right now and you just push the play button and the Bible's on there. I know it's on there. It's on there right now. In the basement. In the kitchen. And there's probably some music on in the living room. But gospel music. Hallelujah. So when Jesus came, there was a division over him, and he didn't deny it. Now, Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, he's going to divide.
Right.
We don't like the word division. When he said that they all may be one, he didn't mean unbelievers and believers. No, not at all. He meant that they all may be one, that they that are going to be one with me are one with him and believe the same thing. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus comes, he will divide. Matthew 25:32 says he'll put the sheep on one side and he'll divide between the sheep and the goats. That's what he's going to do. He's not going to say, are you a Catholic? Are you a Baptist? Are you this? Are you that? No, that's unimportant to him. That name over the door, and some people trust in that name. They think that because they go to a Baptist church, surely they're saved. Because they preach the born-again experience. Or, if I go to a Lutheran church, surely I'm saved. Because I've been confirmed. And the synod teaches us that if we're baptized as babies and if we're confirmed when we're so old, that we're saved. And they go in there believing that they're saved.
Right.
Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. I'm glad I met Jesus. Oh, I am so thankful that I met him, that I know him, that he's my personal friend, that I've had a personal experience with him, that I've got truth, and I want to keep learning more and uncovering more and more and more truth. Because I want to bring joy to the apostle's heart, if I can say it that way. I know he's dead and in the grave. But I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in truth. Will you stand with me? That's my thought for tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
just want to remind us of the preciousness of this truth that we hold. Thank God. Thank God. Would you wave your true book with me? Amen. Before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the truth, Lord. Thank you for our holy Bibles, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God. Bless this Word, Lord, for our thinking, for our hearts, Lord. God, it's not our purpose, Lord. It's not our purpose, Lord, to put a sword, oh God, in anybody's. Lord Jesus.